At Her Spirit, we're here for you. We want to help you discover your potential, achieve your goals, ignite your fitness, find your community. Head to herspirit.co.uk and sign up for our core membership. Get access to our virtual classes, monthly challenges, expert advice, and track your progress in our health hub. You'll also find your very own cheerleading squad who will support you every step of the way. Use the code HERSPIRITPOD3 and get 3 months completely free. It's time for you.
Hello and welcome to the Her Spirit podcast. I'm Annie Emerson and alongside me, my lovely friend, Louise Minchin. And I thank God, I really do, for these podcasts because it's meant that we have been able to see one another every week because we're doing them from home on Zoom.
And not only that, Annie, but now, you know, we've talked so much about, oh, we're so inspired. Yeah, whatever. Actually, we have genuinely, you and I, signed up for a swimming race in September together.
Oh, we've signed up for swimming. And I think there's going to be more as well in the pipeline, which is really exciting. You know, we've had some amazing guests. And I tell you what, you're never too old to learn. And, you know, interestingly, this week, you might find it interesting, I've been reading Alex Ferguson's book on leadership. And it's all about listening, watching and reading. And I just, you know, with all that's gone on in the world over the last few months, you know, you do suddenly get to the conclusion, actually, no one knows everything, do they, Lou? Mm-mm. No one knows everything.
Can I ask you one question before we go to our epic guest? When we do, called it a race, when we do this swim, are we going to swim together or are you going to just beat me?
No way, I'm swimming with you.
Okay, so let's swim together, yeah?
Yeah, no, definitely swimming with you. And I promise you, I think we're probably about the same level anyway. If it was a running race, Lou...
We can take it in turns, can't we? One at the front and then swap around, yeah?
Yeah, I'm not a big kicker, so you'll be quite happy on my feet, hopefully. And hopefully you'll do the same for me and won't splash me too much when I get a nice little draft sitting on your feet. But I'm very excited about it. And I think, actually, putting these goals as and when you can, it's not easy at the moment, but little goals in the diary just help you to have a little bit more focused, don't
I'm
they?
So excited about it. Do you want to introduce our fantastic guest?
Oh gosh, yes. I am incredibly happy and delighted to announce our next guest. She is the double gold Olympic medalist from Athens, Dame Kelly Holmes. And just before our guest today, a quick reminder that Her Spirit is the name of this podcast, but it's also a brilliant community that is fun, safe and supportive space for every woman to get fitter, stronger and healthier. Just look for the website or the app and you can see the details of all the coaching and support you could ask for.
The wonderful Dame Kelly Holmes joins us now, and I've been told not to call you Dame Kelly from now on. It is so great to see you. Sitting out in your garden, are you?
I am. I mean, how can you not? It's like ridiculous, this weather. It's Costa della Kent where I am, I think.
I've loved so many things. I've learned so many things, should I say, in lockdown, and loved lots of things. And one of them is your joyful, unbelievable enthusiasm and the classes that you've been giving. I did one the other day. They're brilliant.
Well, do you know what? We came into this period of time where everyone was a little bit like, oh my gosh, what is happening? And I was the same because I'm used to traveling around the world, standing on big stages in front of thousands of people these days, kind of doing speeches. And suddenly you're told sort of, you're not going to go anywhere. And I thought to myself, okay, so the one thing I need to do is to keep motivated and have some structure. So I've never taken live fitness classes before. You know, I'm a qualified PT. I used to be a PT in the army. I've shown things, but never like live classes. So I thought, oh, do you know what? I'll start doing abs in the morning just randomly. And now I've done 13 weeks, Monday to Friday, abs, and then a host of other live events. So I think I'm on 155 live sessions now.
So you must have you're fit anyway, but have got fitter, do you think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, I'm probably the fittest I've been since I retired. That was a long time ago.
And the other thing, I know, and I'm not sure Annie's done one of your classes, but what I like about, there's so many things I like about them, but so you do it for all different levels and you do every single whatever it is, press up, whatever, you are there in your house doing it. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think, you know, for my whole point is to inspire and motivate people to get the best out of themselves, whether that's physically or mentally. So I'm really aware that there's such a range of people following me as there is with anybody on social media, and you never really get to see them. So you have to kind of, one, cater for everybody. But secondly, I want people to be that better version, you know, to believe they can do more. So I do push people. You know, I started adding a beginner's class into my abs because I knew there was a lot of kind of people that were just only just starting their fitness regime. But equally, there's people, you know, who have fell out with a love of fitness, sport, whatever it is over the years. And, you know, I've got people who are in their mid-60s who are on my other program, Military in Motion, who are literally pushing it so hard. And I love it, but it's more around, you know, what is physical fitness for these days? You know, yes, for your body and, you know, to kind of feel better, maybe look better, get stronger, fitter, whatever that may be. But equally, especially during this time, your mental approach, you know, kind of being more happy about yourself, getting out in the fresh air, you know, having appreciation maybe a little bit about the fact that if you can go out and, you know, do it for reasons that, you know, we all want, is to feel good about ourselves.
Mm. I mean, it's such an interesting topic, isn't it, Kelly? And it's something that's so missed by people. I know you've been really sort of quite open about yourself, your anxieties and stuff. You know, I have as well in the past. You have a mental health podcast. I mean, the message, like Hair Spirit, that we always want to put across to people is that sport helps people so much in terms of improving mental health. And when we talk about sport, we'll get onto your amazing sport, but it could be a 30-minute walk, it could be a 20-minute walk, it could be a 10-minute walk for starters.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's about being active. That's how I kind of bring it across, is being active and doing something within your capabilities, but also pushing yourself to do other things. So, you know, during this time, even, not being funny, international athletes have had to learn how to train on their own at home. I know it sounds really weird, but that whole disengagement from your normal routine, somebody telling you what to do, joining a class at a gym, having a PT, that going actually made people learn a lot more skills around other things that they maybe could do, because so many people like myself were given out live content and free live content. So people have kind of, you know, almost been introduced to so many maybe new activities, and especially in the fitness world. But equally, sport, yeah, has the ability to, you know, teach you so many skills. So if you're a younger person, I think sport is brilliant from that learning to fail, how hard something can be and how you have to drive and commit to something. What it's taught a lot of the people following me is about being consistent. You will see changes. When you see those changes, it makes you feel so good because you actually feel like you've done something for yourself. And probably the other thing that I think fitness and sport has as ability, when you go back to the mental health side, to do is it's the only time that you're in control of your own self. You know, if I go and I do a core session, I'm there, even though I'm teaching people, but to say I wasn't, I'm there making the effort, doing the reps, going through the pain, whatever it is, but I'm doing it for myself, you know, because I've put myself in that position and I'm in control of that moment that I decide to go from here to here and make that effort to do it. And I think this is the thing. You can, you know, get so much out of doing sport and activity that you don't really realise how powerful it can be.
At Her Spirit, we know how powerful women can be. We love your strength, your determination, your compassion. We love the energy that sparks when we connect and spur each other on. Her Spirit was created to ignite that flame of determination, to unleash your energy, to build your self-belief, and to help every woman find a way to your healthiest mind, body, and soul yet. We want to inspire 1 million women just like you to be active, healthy, and happy because you deserve it. Head to herspirit.co.uk, join our core membership and use the code HERSPIRITPOD3 to get 3 months completely free. Join our monthly challenges, get access to the Her Spirit Health Hub and track your activity levels, mood, food, sleep and stress every single week with your own personalised dashboard. Get expert advice and join daily live classes that can be played back at any time. Plus, find the support that you need to get started and stay motivated. Just sign up at herspirit.co.uk and use the code HERSPIRITPOD3 to get 3 months completely free. It's time for you.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you on so many levels on that. And what's been sort of, you know, it's been really encouraging to see lots of people, as you say, who perhaps not done this, doing it. And the content that is out there has just risen just by extraordinary amounts, hasn't it? What is also worrying, because we have had research saying that actually women are the people who've become some of them less active in lockdown, which is, you know, there seems to be sort of two groups of people who've embraced it and people who've not, for whatever reasons they have, been able to do it.
Yeah, so I suppose, so again, going by sort of the range of people that I've seen online, because I've been doing live Zooms, which I love, because you're actually interacting, are building a big community of people, and they're all from a completely sort of different backgrounds, different abilities, live all over the place. And, you know, they've all become friends on there because of pushing. And these are people that would never, ever connected before. And a lot of those, of course, are women, because, you know, women do have the ability to communicate more. You know, when I do on Friday nights, I do it's called a night crawl. Basically, I'm dressing up like a mad woman and I do a fitness event. Everyone's got a gin or whatever in their hands. We're doing the exercise. We have a gym, we have a chat. And afterwards, I sit for an hour talking to them all. And I go through every single person on my Zoom and ask them, how you've been, what's your week been like, what you've been doing. And what I've realised is that giving people a chance to connect and communicate, it opens up a lot, you know. But what is happening is, you know, it's not, I wouldn't say it's a therapy session, but for some it may well be, because, you know, there's people that have been isolated, people that live on their own, people that have family who, you know, never had to homeschool and work and do the everything, you know, like people here. So I think women certainly have embraced it, but there are probably a lot that haven't, and maybe the only reason is they're maybe not as in tune with the social media world. That's what I would probably say, you know, because there's some people that when they come on, they're going, I've never been on Instagram before. I just saw somebody told me, my friend said, get on and watch Kelly Holmes do it. And, you know, they've got two followers and they have no idea what they're doing, but then they learn. So I think the people that haven't embraced it are maybe the ones that haven't managed to get into these communities and to embrace what has been on offer, and almost have been left out of it, you know?
I mean, Kelly, what's amazing about you is like this incredible career that you had that was so tough at times and at other times just so brilliant. But it seems like you just had this ability and need to give back to other people, particularly when we like look at the Dame Kelly Holmes Trust, which was set up to help young people and retired athletes, which I guess you've been there yourself and you know how tough that is. So talk us through the Kelly Holmes Trust.
The trust I set up in 2008. Now, initially, the trust was actually set up to help athletes who were retiring from international sport, help them transition into what would essentially be their new life. Because, you know, you get to an end of an era of something, however long you've been in that environment and whatever level you've got to, you've had ability to focus on something with a dream and an ambition. You know, you've been in a structured environment that's almost like, you know, kind of almost institutionalized, because that structure is, you know what you're doing every day, you know what's expected of you, you know what you've got to do to achieve. When you come to the end of that, it's really hard. I found it so hard, you know, even after winning 2 gold medals, having only thought about being Olympic champion and never passed that since I was 14, you know, suddenly you come to the end and you question who you are and your identity loss, and you don't need those people around you. But at that time, of course, you know, it wasn't charitable to support athletes, because no one saw the return on social investment, how brilliant an athlete can be to the mindset and the change of life to young people. So I was also at the time ambassador for many young people's charities. And so I decided that actually the benefit of an athlete whilst transitioning to be a mentor to young people in areas of deprivation, bringing out maybe key skills like resilience and confidence and self-worth and self-esteem and all of those things. And we've been going, what, it's now, it was 2008, 2020. We've helped over 350,000 young people and transitioned. I think this my CEO now said about 725 international athletes. And that was all just off the back of being passionate, but also off the back of believing that sometimes it takes one person in your life to make a difference. And mine was my PE teacher, you know, one person that told me I could actually be good at something at school when everybody else wrote me off and I'm outside the classroom all the time, you know, after talking and not engaging. And that one person, Debbie Page, said to me, you know, get a grip. You can be good at running, but you have to believe it. And, you know, the story says it all. And I remember that and I'll never forget it. And it's exactly the same with the young people that have an athlete speaking to them and working with them over a big period of time who say they've transformed their lives. And that's why I started the trust.
Well, it's just brilliant. Go on, Annie.
It makes me, like, listening to you speak, Kelly, makes me feel really emotional, because when you think of, you know, Louise and I have kids and, you know, they're pretty lucky, you know, they're pretty spoiled, aren't they, really, at the end of the day. They've got parents they love that love them, you know, they've got good homes, they have everything they want. But, you know, out there, there are thousands of kids that don't have that. And when we look at what we've been through now with coronavirus, you know, and the things that are important in life and the things that aren't important in life, you know, resilience, health is so important. You know, we've seen that with this virus. And so, I love what you're doing and how you talk about, you know, starting right at the bottom, you know, wherever these kids are from, you know, letting them know that, you know, everyone is capable of doing something. You know, very, very few people on this planet aren't, you know. So,
yeah. And you know what? The biggest power I've ever seen, you know, I can big up my charity, you know, I'm president now and started it. But when you see a young person who's been through a journey from a young age, you know, a real big journey where they were totally written off, you know, and these are children who either have parents that are in jail, drugs, alcohol, they're young parents, you know, could be 14, got into a wrong environment, being in prison, maybe home leavers or home carers. When they stand on stage and you've seen them on day one where they've pretty much got that attitude that everyone thinks of them the same as put them in a box. So they come with that attitude, you know, and they have the hoodie up and they grunt and kind of don't really want to be there, some of them. But when you see that at the end and they stand on stage at what we call our go event and they look all smart and they're speaking articulate. And I remember, I never forget this one boy who just stood on stage and said, "This is the start of my life." You know, he'd gone through the program and he said, "This is the start of my life now. I'm going to make it something." And I was like, oh, tears, crying, you know. Because so, yeah, so it's amazing to see how you can help and transform someone's life if you give them hope and a chance.
I just want to read some of the messages we've had for you as well, Kelly. This is Michelle. She says, "I love that you're so supportive and encouraging of all people at different levels of their health and fitness journey." And this question from Marie, "Thank you for being a great role model. You talk openly about your own mental health and you really have done that for many years, haven't you?" And she asks, "Do you have a toolbox you use to keep the gremlins at bay?" Which is a great question, because I, you know, I've talked a lot in this podcast, haven't I, Annie, about being anxious. And, you know, this has made people, if they're anxious or haven't been anxious, it's a really difficult, has been a difficult time for lots of people.
It really has. And I think it's obviously been made worse now because uncertainty. And we look too far ahead and worry about what's going to happen later on. But most of the time we can only deal with the here and now because we don't have the answers for a month and 2 months right now. So we can set up things that maybe help us through the process. So of course, now with lockdown easing, some people are getting back into partly a normality, but it's still not normal life. And we don't know what that's going to look like. So you can only really deal with the here and now. The anxiety thing, I think with a lot of people and also myself, you have to be able to breathe and to kind of recognize what things make you feel good and clearly what doesn't, you know, and identify those. And I think actually this time has probably given people that chance to think about them and who they are, what they like about themselves, maybe what they don't, what they like about the environment they're in and what they don't, you know, because we've been stuck into maybe really weird situations. And, you know, I can't answer for everybody because I know some people have truly struggled through this period for lots of reasons, whether that relationship, like I say, isolation, financial worries, child care problems, whatever it is. And that would have heightened that anxiety. But essentially, it's our life, you know, we have to remember we live this life to live it. You know, why do you want to go through this life, getting to the end of it when you don't know when that end's coming? Never of enjoying yourself, never of having hope, never of actually being happy. So you have to then go, well, if I was lucky enough to live another how many years, what do I want to be like? I don't want to be sad all the time. I don't want to always be anxious and stressed or be depressed. And so one of the things I do this thing called me time. So every single night I go in my bubble bath. I have candles going, have my music tunes going. People are actually giving music choices now. This is how bad it's been. It's been going on for months and months and months, it has. And it doesn't matter whether it's 12 o'clock midnight or 9 o'clock, I'll still do it. And I just feel like if people can find 15 as a minimum minutes of just you know, because if you say you're going to go and take your dog out for a walk and get air, that's fine. But if that's a routine, it's not really for you. You're taking a dog out because you have to take the dog out. You know, you haven't really gone, do you know what? I'm going to go out on my own and I'm just going to listen to the birds. I'm going to look at the sky. I'm going to breathe and think. So I say people find that time. And it also, I mean, I'll go into that quickly about my own situation and how an incident changed possibly how I view things. So, I mean, a lot of people know about my journey because I talk about it now, but I had my first massive breakdown in 2003 when I was at the height of my career. And you have to remember, I'd been in the military for nearly 10 years. I'd been an international athlete for 11 years that time. I'm a strong lady. I'm positive, motivated. I'll do everything to reach my full potential. However, being a human being, there's only so much you can take of highs and lows. And when in sport, when extremes are high, something happens to your head, you know, you kind of like, ah, you know, this is like amazing. You just never get that feeling in a lot of situations. But equally, the lows can be so dramatic because of that. And when I again got another niggle, I was 33, I just couldn't cope. Something just broke in me. And I was in a training camp in France. And I lost it. I literally lost it. I looked in the mirror, hated everything, like literally everything about myself, my body, how I looked, who I was, what I did. And I saw some scissors, started to, at that stage, become self-harmer, you know, cutting yourself in places when you've only got a crop top and shorts. There's not many places you cut yourself. But I started doing that and I literally wanted the hole to open up. I wanted to jump in and I did not want to see the next day. But at the same time, you know, I had a dream. I was getting ready for a world championships. I'm in a training camp for a world championships. And I had an Olympic dream and that was the following year. And so at depths of despair, I also won a silver medal at those world championships and no one knew. I didn't have anyone to talk to. I didn't know how to talk to people. I didn't know about depression, breakdown, nothing, you know. So
yeah,
I went through that. And then I think that if anyone's ever had like a really bad knockback, I don't think it ever goes, because I think there has to be some chemical imbalance in your brain that suddenly, like, you know, kind of you feel more susceptible for feeling down and low. And so over the years, you know, I've been retired, 16 years now. I've had ups and downs. I've had other moments. I have self-harm. I've done things. But when my mum passed away in 2017, that was the worst day of my life. Nothing else that I've done myself. And that was the last time also that I self-harmed. It was 2017 because I realised it wasn't going to bring her back and it wasn't helping me. So I had to then decide on what do I do to help myself. And how do I never go down to that point of hurting myself as a cry out? So now I use fitness, interacting with people, motivating others helps me. And that's how my therapy works almost.
Oh, I mean, that's just incredible. It's just wonderful. I know you are, have been so honest about it beforehand, but listening to you, honestly, it's really has a massive impact. Those are really obviously very dark moments. Do you sometimes feel, you know, that you're on that route again and able in some ways to put things in place to stop it?
Yeah. So over the years, I mean, I've got myself down really low. And then one thing I remember, and now I'm a mental health first aider as well and a mental health kind of speaker. One of the things that I don't really live with regrets, but one of the things I would have hoped to have been able to do different, or if time had come again, was to talk to somebody when it was all happening, you know, because the two main ways of supporting your mental health is to communicate, to talk to people, to get that help and to start to, you know, get some of that off your chest and get people to kind of get you out of that phase, and also fitness. And so because I hadn't told anybody, and, you know, all my family and friends read it in my autobiography in 2005, you know, not the great, and in the, you know, the kind of quick newsflash front page about it, and then no one cared about it after that because no one used to talk about it. I just vowed to my friends that if ever I was in that state again, I would make sure that I would talk to them, because they were so upset, because not disappointed with me, but upset that they couldn't have been there for me. So I promised that if I ever, and obviously when my mum passed away, I was like literally broken. 3 weeks, I didn't go out the house. I'm, you know, such a mess. And they came round, you know, in when you got people close to you, they can make you laugh even though you're so sad, you know, they can do things with you even though you're so sad. And I use that now as a way of, you know, I just tell people, I'm so honest on my social media because I know other people are going through it. And I believe if you can, one, be someone in public eye, but secondly, just be anybody that can be willing to talk, you know, there's somebody else that will resonate with a part of that feeling. And if they, and you see somebody else going through it, it actually makes you feel that you're not alone.
True.
And Kelly, so you talk about your lovely mum. In fact, I met you a couple of years ago when your mum was poorly, and I just remember you talking about her. And you've always been like very open about, you know, how close you were, you know, your love for one another. How much was she around at that time? And did she never know anything about what you were going through, like in 2003, sort of the year prior to the Olympics, Athens, when you won the double gold?
She didn't know at all because, so we were close because mum had me when she was 17. So, you know, we were close. And like any parents, family, you have ups and downs and periods of time where, you know, you're not close, but we were then. But I think what it was is, you know, when your family and friends care for you that much, you know, if they knew what state I was in, they'd just say to me to come home. And it's, you know, why are you doing it? They'd almost, we were so different, me and my mum. I'm so driven and completely, I used to say to her, you know, kind of like, you're actually my mother, because we're like so different in our drive and determination. Yet she has got that inner ability to fight, because she, like I say, she had me when she was 17, and, you know, living and being born in Kent, white and white Kent, you know, with a mixed race child at 17 and being told by your dad that you can't look after your child unless you can look after yourself. She put me in a care home. You know, she was in a care home for 4 or 5 years of my life until she could get me. And, you know, the moment they came to adopt me, she told them they weren't going to. So she ripped up the papers and took me out. And, you know, so I know she was a fighter, but we were very different when it comes to sport. She's like, you're like crazy. She's like, she just couldn't get my, you know, thing. So supportive of it, but just couldn't get it. But then I just thought to myself, she's a mum, you know, she's just gonna say, you know, come back, come home. It's like 1996, I got a stress fracture before the Olympic Games, and I remember being in Tallahassee and getting a scan by the doctor, and he said, you're going to have to go home. And I was 26. I was still serving in the military. And I was like, but this could be my last Olympic Games. And I've been dreaming of this since I was 14. I said, what's the other choice? And he said, well, if you run, you might fall down and break your leg completely. I said, was that just the risk? And he said, yes. I said, I'll take the risk. So I ran. But I remember calling my mum, like devastated, thinking, you know, because I was at top of my game. I was favourite to win or silver. And she just said, you don't have to do it. You know, why didn't you come home? Don't risk it. And, you know, in my head, it's like, I don't want somebody to tell me not to go for my dream. And that's why I didn't tell her. I didn't know how to, you know. I just didn't know how to. When you're in a dark space, it is hard to speak to people when you're in a dark place because you don't see anything. It's just a blur and a rage. You don't see anything. Nothing else is normal to you. So it's hard to express it at that moment. And then for me, it's just because I didn't want somebody to tell me to come home. I still wanted to be good.
You talk about that, you know, possibly at 26 being your last Olympics. Well, it certainly wasn't, because then you went on to Sydney. You were leading with 50 metres to go in the 1500s. 1500, it was a 1500, but in the 800s. And you took a bronze medal. That was on about 6 weeks training. You know, you talk very openly about your career, your sports career, you know, being really sort of, you know, hit hard by the injuries. But I think with an athlete, you know, when it shows the strength, not just physically, but mentally, if that athlete can time and time again keep overcoming adversity. And I think that's what stands out for you. And then, honestly, I'm not just saying this because I like you a lot, but I could watch that 800 and 1500 metres at Athens every single day of my life and not get bored of it. and looking at your face when you come over the line at 800 meters. I mean, it's such a famous look of yours, isn't it? That's everywhere. This look going, God, did I do that?
No.
And then going to run the 1500 as, you know, as a medal hope, but, you know, not, you didn't think to win the gold. And I think watching those races for me with my athletic head on, and I think this probably rolls into normal life as well, is how you ran those races with such composure. Because I, you know, even now watching, and I know what's going to happen, like with one lap to go and you're in seventh place and it looks like you're 25 metres down and you're so composed and you're just, you know what you've got to do, you know where you've got to be at each section of that sort of 1500 metres or 800 metres. And I guess, you know, that is the person that you are, you know, whilst you've had the anxiety and a huge amount of horrible, you know, mental health issues. At the bottom of that, there's an incredibly strong woman.
Yeah, and you know what? It took me a long time to compute, like, what I'd actually done, because, you know, when you've been through those journeys and then you come out to that extent, like, I literally didn't believe I'd done it. You know, 3 months after, I remember being in my mum's back garden because I'd rented out my place thinking I was just going to go back to South Africa training after a normal kind of championship where I'd been fighting because of an injury or something. In my head would be, oh, same routine. You know, now I'm, you know, back, the world's gone mad and UK's gone mad about what I'd done. And, you know, I'm pinching myself and I was pinching my mum and she was pinching me and I said, have I done it? She went, you've done it. I was like, I couldn't believe it. But I think what it was is that, you know, what happened was after, you know, winning that silver medal at the World Champs, being like at the bottom of the bottom, I realised I'd never, ever go so low again. You know, that I couldn't go any lower, yet I'm still achieving. You know, you stand on a rostrum 2 weeks into a breakdown self-harm and you stand at the top of the world. I knew I couldn't ever go any lower. So the key for me was I can't let this body get injured. You know, at that stage, I'd won 10 international medals, but I'd had 7 years out of the 11 at that time with injuries. So I knew I could always do it. The question was, can my body keep me in one shape? So I hadn't told anyone about the mental side of it, but what I'd said to my physio, Alison Rose, training partner who gave up his career that year to help me, a guy, Anthony Whiteman, you know, and the nutritionist and everybody, I said, you know what, I know I can do this. You know, I know I can do it, but I have to keep injury free. So what happened was, is over that period of time, by not being injured and having those support, you know, almost like, you know, a selfish to them, I said, you have to live my dream because it's the only way we're going to do it. And if I do that, you get something off of it. You're the best physio in the world. You know, you're the best trainer in the world. And you start to then evolve all those things. But I just felt like coming into that period of time, I hadn't been injured. So all the confidence I'd ever had before was just so high because I wasn't doubting my body. You know, I was just staying strong. So then, you know, I kind of learned that over the years, tactically I was a really good racer. But if I could get those tactics really right, then I could be even better. So the confidence of the training that I had led me to race like that. So, you know, I was running even pace running at a really hard level in training. I was running faster in training than the race times, you know, so I knew that it was in my capability. So when I decided for the 800, I'm going to run even splits, you know, that was nerve-wracking, I have to say, because, you know, for an 800 meter runner, they're generally like 25, 26 sometimes at the first 200. And then, you know, you then all start to group up. And I thought, well, if I do 28s, 29s and stick to that, I'll get like 156. And that's what normally roughly wins a 800 meter race. And that's all I did. But that first, I'm telling you, when you're that far back, you can change. And I just thought, no, stick with it, stick with it, stick with it. And it worked. And because it worked for the heats and the semi-final, I stuck to it to the final, won the 800, and then carried on, obviously, for the 1500. But I have to say, very quickly, I do believe in fate. And I feel like I used to think that that was my destiny. I actually probably feel like it was more my journey to do what I do now. So I can now talk very openly about both sides of everything, motivate, inspire people through that hell journey, through the success. And now I believe I'm doing my destiny as opposed to what I thought was before.
And I think that, you know, for our listeners, and we do have a huge variety of people that tune in, is that sometimes it's quite easy to look at a sports person, you know, particularly someone really, you know, amazingly successful as you are, and think that it's easy. Although, you know, perhaps people don't think that. I think, you know, and having been there myself as a triathlete, certainly not as your level, at your level with two gold medals, but I raced pretty hard for 10 years. It's not always a very healthy life, is it?
Well, certainly not if you go to the depths of despair to achieve a dream. It really isn't. But then that's elite sport, you know. It's different taking sport, enjoying it, getting to a high level. And maybe even if you're in a team sport, you know, very different. You've got the camaraderie around you. When you're on a low day, you've got someone to pick you up. Athletics is slightly different because, of course, it's very individual. You know, it's quite isolating sometimes when you're, you know, in the middle of nowhere on top of a mountain at altitude training, and your coach can only make it a certain time because they've got a job, and you're left on your own, can't speak the language, still have to achieve. You know, it's quite hard. So it's not a healthy lifestyle as a whole. But at the end of the day, you know, I feel like for me as a young person, that's all I was good at. And, you know, for me, I used athletics as a tool to believe in myself and to achieve and know that as a person, I could achieve my successes in life. And it's the same with anybody through any, you know, industry, job. I wouldn't be able to do half of the things you guys do, you know, other people do, because it's just not in my psyche to do it. And it's the same. Other people need to think that whatever you do in life, if you're good, if you enjoy it, you're probably quite good at it, because that's why you enjoy it in the first place. And then to strive to be better, that's all about commitment and dedication in anybody's field, you know. So trying to reach the highest level in sport is obviously slightly different, because you're doing it both physically and mentally, you know, and you're pushing to that nth degree. Like, everything about you is just push, 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 push. And obviously you can step over that line and do what I did, have injuries and breakdowns. But essentially, though, would I do it again if it was around? And if I was going to win two gold medals, I'd go for it all again. Yeah.
Can I ask you, I know that you've got to go because you've got such, you've probably got another abs class. I don't think it's an abs class, but you're very busy. So just a couple of questions. I mean, that's brilliant. I want to ask you so many things. The first one is about food and fueling yourself, because obviously at the moment you're doing a huge amount of exercise. So to people listening, you know, what is your attitude to that? And what should people think about, do you think?
Okay, let me be very real here. I love a good Indian gin and chocolate.
Yeah, that's the best news.
Saturday nights, I'm like literally slobbing out. I love it. Honestly, I've got gin fridge, everything. I show people on my night crawls.
A gin fridge?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
on my night crawls on a Friday night, it's a gin, do a workout, gin, do a workout. Look, I believe in balance. Honestly, I've probably ate more chocolate in this lockdown than I've ever ate. And I am a chocoholic, so you can imagine how much. But I just use, I'm training. So my attitude is, well, you know, what am I trying to achieve? I'm not going to want, I don't want to be an international athlete anymore. You know, I just, I want to look fit. I want to look strong, but I'm doing that by exercising. I'm not going to lie. I'm a grazer. I do have one nice meal, and I'm a pescatarian, meaning I eat fish and vegetables, and I'm not a meat eater, but I have a really nice sort of meal that I make every night. I've probably cooked more than I've ever cooked since I've lived at this house 14 years, and this 13 weeks is probably I've opened my stove more. I'm such a grazer. You know,
what do you graze on then?
I could sit here having grapes and cheese right now, and that I'll be quite happy. But
you know, that's really just, that's so joyful to hear, because you sort of think, oh, she's going to eat a protein shake or whatever. I'm so glad it's not.
So the only thing I've made sure I've done is I've had my breakfast, which I neglect a lot when I'm traveling around, because you know what it's like. You go out, I get a quick custard coffee and then I'm off. Whereas I've actually, because I'm physically doing more on a consistent basis and mentally doing more, because I've just launched employee lifestyle and fitness app. I've just started a new military emotion concept. I'm building new things. I'm still doing public speaking virtually. So for energy wise, I make sure that I do have a really good breakfast. And actually the only thing I probably think about more health wise is when my mum was ill, there was something about, like obviously when you have cancer, it's an inflammatory process. So my mum died of myeloma, which is cancer of like the bone blood. And I was looking into sort of how you could holistically help with cancer. And a surgeon had mentioned the benefits of turmeric and curcumin. And so I was getting a bit obsessed with that really. And it was a bit too late for her, even though the surgeon had written to her to say that he was having really good responses to cancer patients with using turmeric. And I was like, right. So now the one thing I do religiously, I have that pucker teas, you know, like turmeric tea in the morning. I have probably three turmeric teas in the night, and I have the capsules before I go to bed, because I've always got in my head, like, if you can prevent things, and you don't know if you can, but if you can do little things that might just help you. And I'm training all the time, so I'm obviously going to always have an inflammatory inflammation going on in my body. So I've just remembered this. So that's probably the only ritual that I have, because I believe that if I can do something, but that's it really.
Yeah. I'm inspired by the chocolate. Go
oh,
on.
Oh yeah. Dark chocolate. I mean, you know, there's health benefits of that and all.
I mean, what I love about Kelly is like when you do meet her in the flesh, because the last time I saw you was at Pride of Sports Award and I hadn't seen you for a while. And I just remember thinking, God, she always looks so fit. Like, I mean, I try to work my arms, but I just don't think they're ever going to look like yours. But what I love about Kelly is that balance. And I remember when we did that job together and thinking, I bet Kelly never has a drink. And one of the first things we discussed was the wine or something that we drank the night before. And I was just like, yeah, I promise you, Kelly, we never have a podcast where somehow a glass of wine isn't drunk. Well, obviously not now, because we're sort of 12, not far away. 12 o'clock on a Friday or whatever we are, but we do love our wine, and it's good to know that you like your gin, because it's chilled, it's balance, isn't it? It's all about balance.
Well, that's what I think. You know, I mean, I didn't used to drink at all when I was an athlete, other than if I'd done really well and somebody gave me a little champagne glass and I hated it. But you know, I'd be pissed after that kind of sip anyway when I was an athlete. But now I can handle it quite well.
You talk about destiny, and as I say, I've been watching all the stuff that you've done. You've clearly been inspiring people over lockdown. You've learned a huge amount. The videos that you do, etc., are fantastic. So you've obviously learned a lot. Are you going to be able to carry that on? Because I think that's important, isn't it? Because so many people have loved what you've done, and other people have done as well. Where do we go forward, do you think? And you talked about your destiny, didn't you? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think so. I was saying I launched even through lockdown a kind of app that I'd been working on for a long time, and got my first PLC company to buy into it. So it's basically an employee lifestyle and fitness app. Then I thought to myself, well, people, you know, the thing is, when you start building a community, people then are reliant almost on you.
You can't let them down.
No, you can't. Seriously. And the thing is, next week I've got a... No one would even believe that I've got like a really manky Achilles, that I've got an operation on next week. I've got haggling. So I've got this operation on my Achilles next week. And I've been jumping around like a maniac. I should have had it in April. And then I was thinking to myself, what about my course? I thought, right, I'm gonna pre-film. So this is how mad I am. I'm going to pre-film 3 morning sessions so I can still have them on the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The next Monday, I'm still doing stomach. I've still got the rest of my body. I'll have a pot. I'll have a plaster. When I have my leg, I'll be like this.
I wish
you couldn't see that, but I was demonstrating doing sit-ups with a pot on my leg. I'm still going to carry on.
It's got to carry on, hasn't it? That's the only. I mean, you know, it's a massive commitment for you. But as I know, having done it myself, you know, there are so many people out there who are really responding and need you to be doing it.
Yeah, you know, you just adjust your timetable. But if I can do something that's a bit more consistent and through Military in Motion, I'm going to build sort of programs and plans so people can actually then still get things long term. And I think the biggest thing people like are the little lives. You know, if I can still do a couple or once a week a live Zoom with people, I love it. I really do love interacting. I wouldn't have had a clue who these people are. You know, they're just behind a screen. When you do Instagram story, it's just names coming up. You don't even know if anyone's actually doing anything other than you. You know, you start doing it in the morning and you think, like, I'm doing this whole piece on Twitter, and you see all the people say you're following. I'm thinking, I'm probably the only nut not actually doing it. Everyone's probably just watching me thinking, you're like, what are you on?
I tell you what, that's a brilliant, brilliant note to finish on. I think, you know, what is lovely to see is actually, and I think this is a brilliant lesson for everyone, because we do get quite self-absorbed. We all do at times in our work, our family. We want more, we want less, whatever. But I think what I can really tell from you and your expressions and how you're speaking is the thing that's helped you most is the joy that you have for helping other people. And, you know, that might sound a bit cheesy, but I just think that's a great note to finish on with, Kelly, that, you know, it's so good to see you so happy. And what makes you happy is supporting other people, which is just lovely. And I think that's a great lesson for all of us.
I'm a very private person generally. You know, I kind of always have been, and I still, you know, am to a certain degree, but it's helped me be more me, I suppose, you know, kind of just showing myself a little bit. I've always been, you know, and having had to celebrate 39 plus 11, and I do not want to be that age at all. I'm like devastated. But for me, it's like, if I can keep going like this, it helps other people realize that you can still be you and grow. I continue to grow, and I'm at this age. You know, I feel like the first sort of part of my life, I really wasn't really necessarily being me, and especially not being an athlete. And now you could just be a bit more open, a bit more relaxed, and people respond to that. So I've had to learn that in the last probably 5 or 6 years. I've never been so forthcoming and open ever in my life. So it's helped me as well.
One of my favourite things as well is your house.
Go on.
And seeing that massive, brilliant portrait of you in the background on the mantelpiece.
Oh, do you know what? I do that in my core, and I thought to myself, it's going to look really weird, but I did this photo shoot for Runner's World, and for my birthday, my family came round with this big portrait, but it's made up of hundreds of small family and friend photos, tons of them. Like, so actually the picture is a montage of loads, but it looks like I've just put this random photo of me, like my shrine, but it's not that. It's because it's from them. And I said to them, oh, where should I put it? And they went, oh, put it on your mantle, please, because it'll show up. And now, like, I think, oh God. But then I did take it down on one day, and then someone said, where's your photo? So I put it back up, and I thought, sod it, it was a present.
It's lovely.
Kelly, darling, it's absolutely fine to be 50. I hit 50 in May in lockdown. It's fine. It's absolutely fine. I just was so happy that I could just sneak under the radar. I mean, Louise loves to remind me that I'm 50. Makes her feel good about being 52. 51. But you're fine because you look...
Maybe I'm 52. Yeah,
you look so brilliant. So don't worry. Keep drinking the gin, eating the chocolate and exercising. And, you know.
you just look incredible. Thank you so much for chatting. Yeah,
thank you, lovely really ladies. Thank you.
Take care. Yeah,
thank you,
I'll join
gorgeous.
Your Insta
thank
abs.
You.
Don't worry. Annie, so many things to take away from that conversation. And just going back to what she was talking about, all the sort of live stuff, of course, on Her Spirit, we've built, haven't we, an incredible community. I've been doing the Zooms biking. You've done various things as well, haven't you?
Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, all these things, all these, you know, wonderful online classes have been absolutely amazing, particularly through lockdown. It's going to be interesting to see moving forward, particularly when we look at the drop off in women's activity. So it's been 7% compared to men, and men have increased their sport by 6%. Doesn't seem fair, does it? So I think that's a wonderful thing about, you know, what Kelly's doing, but also what Hair Spirit's doing. And what we've got on the app, I think, is such a huge variety of stuff in terms of sports.
And yoga.
Yoga ability. So in other words, you know,
how to run. I know you don't need to know that, Annie.
How to run, how to ride a bike. But also when you look at what Michelle Charland's doing, you know, there are some pretty hard bike classes out. There are some great core conditioning strength classes. So, loads of stuff on the Her Spirit app, which is definitely worth downloading if you haven't already and tuning into.
And before lockdown, I had never done any, I've never had a sort of class, a biking class. Do you see what I mean? So I've been doing the cycling ones. And it's been absolutely brilliant. I mean, I don't know if it made me any faster, but it's just made me, it's enjoyable. That's the thing about it. You're all there, you're all together. You've got Michelle encouraging you along. It's brilliant.
It is. And I tell you what, shall I tell you what I did this week, actually, that I haven't mentioned? I went to the running track in London, in Barnes. There's a running track that is open. And with a really good friend of mine, and we did a little track session, which was quite hilarious because I'm not in track session sort of condition at the moment. I've just been going out for sort of like little plods. And we got there blown away by who was there on the track. So a couple of really amazing Olympic distance runners, GB runners, Scott Overall. But Linford Christie was there training all his gangs. And I knew Linford from way back. So it was so inspiring that I ran far bloody quicker than I should have done. But I was quite surprised. My legs didn't. Yes. And that goes to show just what you're saying about joining in on these classes, how much more you'll put out if someone else is there watching you, if you're accountable. I tell you what, I was running 15 seconds faster for my 800 metres, which is quite a lot quicker over two laps.
15 seconds over 800 metres? That's a lot, Annie.
But sometimes I get carried away and I think I'm 30 and then I step off the track and I get in the car and I drive home and then I try to get out of my car when I get home and that's not so pretty any longer.
I want to just take you back to one thing she said. She talked about me time, didn't she? And I think that's a really important message because, and particularly about, for example, the dog walk, because you think, oh, that's me time. But actually, I liked her sort of questioning of that, actually, and maybe making a little bit of time if any of us can, because everybody's busy, everybody's got their own stresses. And we're going to be talking to Claudia Hammond, actually, next week, I think. And she's got this book. It's called The Art of Rest. And it's brilliant about actually all of us should be taking time out, just to be on our own, maybe.
I mean, she is so full of wisdom, Kelly, isn't she? She really is. But on that note, Lou, I mean, your life is pretty hectic. How do you, like, I know how much you love your sport, but when's your time out? What would you call your time out? What does it look like?
Oh, that's a really good question. And actually, it goes back to the bath. I have a bath. And I always think in the bath that I'm going to read something or watch something, and I don't. So I'm a bit like Kelly. I don't have the candles and the music. I just lie in the bath. So that would definitely be me time. What about you?
Do you know what? I think when you think about it, I would have to say always my run. I mean, this morning I was out
early. But is that me time, or is that, you know, you doing something? That's what Claudia Hammond would say to you, I think.
I if I'm honest, I really do think that's my me time. That is, you know, when I have that headspace. And, you know, my kiddies are younger than yours. And I tell you what, when I dropped one of them off at school today, the noise in the car about who was going to listen to what on what radio and blah, 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 blah. I was just like, oh my God, thank God I've had my run this morning. Because if I hadn't, I'm not quite sure what I might have done. I might have sort of kicked them both out of school and one of them's not actually back at the moment and sent them both there, even though one's not welcome at the moment. But I do think, Lou, I do think running for me is that, I love it. Yeah. I love it. And I go quiet and I go early. I'm really happy to kind of go off road. And I'm a bit of a creature of habit, but in terms of where I run, but, you know, particularly at the moment, it's so beautiful out there. I just love it.
No, I would say absolutely all my exercise is me time, but the bit when I'm just actually sort of resting in that time would be in the bath. But yeah, I had a lovely run as well today because it's the hottest day of the year, isn't it? And I thought I'll go early. It's done. I loved it.
Yeah. Can I just add to the bath thing? I do like a little bath. I do like a little bath. Mainly in the winter after runs, and you get back and you hang around too much in your sweaty clothes, don't you think? Well, just look at that email, and then suddenly you're freezing and you run a bath. I mean, if it's the right time of day. We're not encouraging drinking, but a little glass of red wine in the bar. You know, just next time you do it.
For you.
Next time you do it, try that little glass of red wine. Honestly, it works a treat.
I just really want to read some of the messages. Thank you, by the way, everybody, for continuing to listen. This is from Maggie. She says, the podcast series is brilliant. I absolutely love it. Thanks to Justine O'Neill for writing in after listening to our Anna McNuff interview, saying another excellent, inspirational podcast. We love hearing from you. More suggestions for guests would be most welcome. And if you want to subscribe, you get new notifications about when the podcast is coming out.
And also, I think we need to add as well, Lou, is the Every Minute Counts, yeah, which is coming to an end soon. So talk about that.
Yeah, Every Minute Counts. So if you basically donate your minutes, and I've been donating quite a few minutes, actually, I've surprised myself. And thank you to everybody, because I know that hundreds and hundreds of minutes have been donated. And what it means is that we can give away the Her Spirit app for free. And I think it comes at the end of this month. So you haven't got long, put your last minutes in, and it's absolutely, you've done brilliantly, everybody. Well done.
Yeah, so if anyone is listening for the first time and does a lot of sport, you know, just throw those minutes in. Everything is explained on the Her Spirit app. And as you said, Lou, I think it's really important because people are going to really benefit from this that do need it. So that's great news.
Thank you so much, everybody. We will see you soon. Enjoy your weekend or whatever you're doing, your ironing, your running, wherever you're listening. Enjoy.
Hi, my name's Mel Burry and I'm the co-founder of Her Spirit. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast and we hope you found it useful. I'd just like to say thanks to our sponsors, Medichex, who without their support, this wouldn't have been possible. Medichex offers simple to use blood tests. Wanting to strengthen your immunity or check for underlying conditions, they offer a home test with doctor's reviewed results. Just go to medichex.com to find out more. And remember, together we've got this. Have a great day.